Chapter 13, amen. Matthew chapter 13, starting at 24 through about the 29th or the 30th, verse. Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, 24 through 30. We said on, I think, week before last, that we were going to endeavor to go into ministering on the kingdom of God. And so there's some things that I've been looking at and studying on and kind of going through that are elements that we need to understand about the kingdom of God. Or I know in the past years, the church in general, a lot of people have been talking about the kingdom and making different references to the kingdom. And so some things may be confusing, or some things may be things that we may have heard, but we haven't put things all together. And the kingdom, I find, as I'm looking at this and as I'm looking and been looking at the kingdom is so vast. I think that sometimes we compartmentalize it. And when a lot of times when it's talked about in the church, the kingdom, when we talk about kingdom, kingdom mindset, and books have been written on kingdom and other things, the kingdom, as it's been talked about, has only been talked about from the aspect of the church being the kingdom. But we're going to see some things from the parables and some things that Jesus said that you might be surprised about what the kingdom actually is and understanding that. But I feel that we need to understand what the kingdom is and to understand it as completely as we can and as much as God has given to us to know. He says, "Has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom." And so that means that God has revealed some things to us, and then it behooves us to know what he's revealed, because he's already told us that we are to preach the kingdom. Amen. We are to preach the kingdom. Amen. The gospel of the kingdom shall go forth. And so we just need to understand that we need to pray for illumination and to understand what God has said about the kingdom. Amen. So let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Start here, but we're going to go really to see from the beginning, going all the way back. But we need to start here because we're going to talk about the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 24. And it says, and it starts off saying, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn." So he says to them, a parable. We know a parable is a story that has earthly descriptions, but it's meant to convey a spiritual meaning. Amen. That a parable is it has earthly or things that you understand on the earth. It describes things in earthly terms, but is meant to convey spiritual truth. And so it's interesting that he says that the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like, not the kingdom is, but the kingdom is like. I want to give you this understanding of something in the spiritual dimension by using something that you can see around you. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a man that sowed what? Good. Everybody say good. Good seed in his field. His field. Amen. And so when we look at this, we need to understand that God has done some things. He's done some things, and we see what things are now. But in order to really see what God intended, in order to see which way God is going, because if we know that God said he wants to reconcile everything to himself, to reconcile means to bring back, right? To reconcile means to bring back, to put something back in its proper place. Its proper place, its intended place. And so if we're going to see that, we need to then go to the beginning. So then if we're going to understand about the kingdom and what God says the kingdom is, what he wants the kingdom to become, and all the rest of this, we need to go back to the beginning. And so that's the best way of looking at it. So let's look at Genesis chapter 2. We got to go back. We saw what Jesus gave the parable about the kingdom. And he says what? He says in that parable, while you turn to and looking at Genesis chapter 2, he said that the kingdom is like unto a man that sowed good seed in what? In his field. But then it says that he sowed good seed in his field, but while men were sleeping, while things were just going on, there was something that happened, that the enemy came, and the enemy to the landowner came, and he sowed some tares, or he deliberately put weed seeds in the field. Amen? It was sabotage. Amen? It was deliberate sabotage. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. God had some good seed, and then all of a sudden you have sabotage that went on. So let's look at this. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. It says chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. And it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him, a help that is suitable for him. Amen. And so what, now that we're looking at this, we have to keep in mind Matthew chapter 13, where he says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. And so when we go back, we see that the good seed that he planted in his field, he was referring to Adam. In the beginning, God said, I created all this. I made all this. Now I'm going to put a man in the garden. I'm going to plant a good seed, a seed meaning I'm going to plant a man that is in connection with me. I am going to place a man in my field, which is the world. I'm going to make man and place him and plant him right where I want him in my garden. Now, look, let's look at this. We see that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. Well, what is God's design? What is God's design? Because we need to know, if we're going to preach the kingdom, if we're going to share the kingdom with people, if while we are evangelizing, and the evangelism is not just for the evangelists, we are all to be evangelists or do the work of an evangelist. We need to be able to tell people. Now, here's where I'm a firm believer of now, that if we're witnessing now, we're in a time that we're in perilous times. We're in a time where we really need to know what it is that God wants us to do, because it is time out for us just telling people that come to Jesus. Jesus will make everything nice and easy. Hello. Because I am I read the scriptures, but I've lived long enough and I've pastored long enough to know that everybody who's searching and seeking and seeking first the kingdom of heaven don't always have everything go peachy keen for them. Hello, somebody. And so we need to now understand that we need to understand about and share with other people what the kingdom actually is, not just what we think people want to hear, not just the nice fluffy stuff that we want folks to just be excited about. But then once they finally come into the kingdom, then they find out that some stuff will still happen to you even when you're saved. Then they will actually become more bitter because you didn't tell them the truth. Hello. But let's see. We need to understand what is God's design. What is God's design? Because if we don't really understand what the kingdom really is about, and if we don't share what the kingdom is really about and all the dimensions to the kingdom, we will then lead people, or we ourselves will sometimes develop a feeling as if God is tricking us. Hello. If we think that God's purpose for saving us and bringing us into the kingdom was to make our life completely stress-free, completely tear-free, completely trouble-free, then when trouble and tribulations come, which he actually told us that they would come, but if we don't remember that he said this, we think that the kingdom just is all about you're going to be rich millionaires and kingdom prosperity, all the rest of this, then when stuff happens, then you will feel as if God lied. Hello. Well, we got to see that he said first, we got to see what the design is. We got to see what the design is. So God created the land and the atmosphere. When we look at Genesis, we see that before he made man, he took and he formed the earth. He made the land. He made the sea, separated the waters above from the waters beneath. So he set up the atmosphere that was conducive for life. And then he caused the water that was on the earth to recede and land appear. So now there was a place for man to be able to reside. He had a place to breathe. He had a place to live. Now he had some land to walk upon. And then out of that, he caused the seed and trees to grow up and that had fruit and everything for him to eat. And then he created then the animals on the land for him to be able to govern and to regulate things that were on the earth. And then on the sixth day, he said, let us make man. So then he made man. So we got to understand that God's design was always to create a place and a field to plant the good seed. God's design. He gave mankind. Look, first he created the land and the atmosphere so that man could operate. That's the first thing you need to understand, that God is so concerned about his creation, meaning mankind, that he prepared some stuff for mankind beforehand. He created the perfect place that you needed to reside in before we even got here. The next thing, here's the next thing. These are truths that we got to keep in mind. The next thing is that he gave man privileges and freedom first. See, as we talk about kingdom, sometimes we can get caught up in the church dealing with and telling people and even focusing in ourselves on all the what we can't do. In order to serve God, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the other. And then we end up then in an effort to please God, we sometimes have a big negative on our mind. We think about all the stuff we can't do, we shouldn't do, all the stuff we need to avoid first. And so then we don't realize it, that our understanding of the kingdom is from the negative perspective. So then when we start sharing the message of the kingdom with other folks, we then inadvertently share with them all the negative. Hello. You know, if you're going to really, really serve God, if you're really going to be blessed, you know, you can't do this. You know, you can't do that. You know, you can't do the other. And so then why are we surprised when some folks don't want to hear the message of the kingdom when it's a whole bunch of what you can't do? Now, I'm not saying there aren't things that we shouldn't, that we should stay away from. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying our mindset needs to change to the perspective that God has. Because when God gave man, planted man into the garden, he actually told him what he could do first. Hello. There's the key. Think about it this way. What is the gospel? The gospel, we know the gospel is the good news, right? So why not share the good news of what God has given first? Have you ever thought about that? What God has given to us, not just what you can have, talking about the material or the physical and all the rest of that. But no, let us start doing what God did. Let's start operating like God does. Let's tell people what they have when they have God. The privileges, what God intends for them to do, what their responsibilities are rather than what their restrictions are. He gave mankind first his privileges and his freedom first, told him that. And then he gave him the prohibitions. And here's the real tripped out thing. Adam only required at this time one prohibition. You know, we got a long list of you can't do this, you can't do that. And the list is valid. Hello. I'm not saying the list is not valid. The list is valid. The long list that extends all the way down our arm and down to all the way to back of the church and out the door, all the stuff that we're not supposed to do. All of those things are valid. But here's the key. In the beginning, God gave them first all of the privileges and only one restriction. Now, I want to tell you, I want to kind of jump into some things because I'm going to hit this on another message. But here's the key. At that time, mankind only needed one restriction. In the beginning, God only needed one restriction. As sin progressed in people's lives, the longer the prohibition list becomes. Hello. Because here's the key. The reason why there was only one prohibition was because all of the privileges that God gave mankind, they were given those blessings. He was given those blessings and those responsibilities because that was what he was designed to do. But the more mankind does not do what we're supposed to do, now then the list of prohibitions become longer because of all the things that we're out of order with. The more, now, if I understand that I'm not supposed to kill another fellow human being, there's no reason for me to say, for God to say, thou shalt not kill. The moment that one person kills another individual, now it becomes necessary for God to say, uh-oh, I got to add another thing here because they've gotten out of line. So the next time somebody says, well, if nobody steals from anybody, there's no reason for God to say, thou shalt not steal. The moment somebody takes something from somebody else, then now it's necessary for God to say, hey, now thou shalt not steal. Why? Because the more people get out of line with God, the more God has to now try to get us back in line, hence the long list of thou shalt not. So now, in the beginning, God planted in the garden good seed, Adam. He didn't create Adam with sinful tendencies. He didn't create him. He created him with a heart and a connection to God that that caused him naturally to be blessed. But now here's the thing. He gave only one prohibition. Don't eat of the tree. We saw that. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man was given authority. Here's the thing. Man was always supposed to, mankind, talk about mankind, both male and female. Mankind was given authority by God. Isn't that the thing that causes us the most trouble? People wanting to do their own thing. They want to exercise their authority. They want to exercise what they want to do. Why is that? Because God planted that inclination in mankind to have control and say so over something. He placed that in man. He said, I want you to have dominion. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. So God gave the authority to carry out God's will, though. That's why you only needed one prohibition, because man was originally created to carry out the will of God and the authority and exercise the authority of God. We're still talking about the kingdom, talking about what the kingdom is. And then here's the good part. At this point in time in the garden, man enjoyed submission to God. How far have we come in what we now know as the kingdom now? How far have we come from the original design now, where it seems to most people to be a burden to obey God? Hello, there's some stuff. Come on, let's be honest. There's some stuff, even though we save in the church, is some stuff we struggle with and we know we ought to do it. Hello. Because what does the scripture say? The scripture says to know to do good and to do it not, that is what? Sin. So there's some stuff that we know. There's some stuff that we know God wants us to submit to, but it is difficult. Some stuff is just downright difficult to do. And I know y'all looking at me, and y'all say, yes, but no, doing the will of God is good. Okay, let somebody slap you on the cheek. Hello. I just found one that's hard for all of us to do. Let somebody slap us on the cheek and then do what Jesus say, turn the other cheek. I tell you that it is difficult to do some stuff that God wants us to do. We may do it, but it may not be difficult. But now here's the key. In the beginning, we looked at first Matthew chapter 13, where he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed first in his field. And then an enemy came and sowed some weeds in. So in the garden, my goodness, man and woman enjoyed being submitted to God. They didn't have any problem saying, yes, Lord. They didn't have any problem saying, yes, Lord. Whatever God told them to do, they said, yes, Lord. They went on ahead and did it. Amen. But now let's look at this. Look at this. Genesis chapter 2. Let's look a little further. Starting in verse 19. And it says, then out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Right? And every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help suitable for him. So in this passage of scripture, Eve has not been formed. She has not been pulled out from his rib. So Eve is still in Adam. And so Adam represents all mankind at this moment, right? So now let's look at this. The whole purpose for looking at this is to see, what is God trying to get us back to? What is God trying to get us back to? As we're looking at the kingdom, we're going to see what the kingdom is now. But we need to now understand also what God originally intended the kingdom to be. So now here we see in the beginning, before while the good seed is still in the field, before the enemy came to sow in tares and to sow in weeds that want to choke out the good seed, we got to see God intended man to have responsibility. And now look at this responsibility. I say responsibility rather than work. Hello. It was work, But I chose to use the word responsibility rather than work, because every work that you have to do isn't something that you want to do. Hello. Every work that you have to do is not always something that you want to do. If you are a responsible person, you understand that some stuff that you don't want to do is necessary for you to do. Either it's something that you are compelled to do, or you know that somebody else should have did it. They didn't do the right thing, and so you just going to be a good Christian and do their work. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. So, hello, we all have been stuck doing somebody else's work. Hello. And but here in the garden, God gave man responsibility. Now, the thing that I think, when I think about responsibility, I think about an honor. An honor. Responsibility, it is work, but responsibility is different than just work. Responsibility, in my mindset, based upon how I look at scripture, is that when God trusts you to do something, it is actually a responsibility based upon honor, not merit, but honor. Hello. It's an honor to be asked to do certain things, because when you're asked to do certain things, it means that somebody trusts that you are capable to get it done. Hello. So responsibility has to itself a sense of honor to it, because God then made everything, but he gave Adam the honor of taking care of it. So now here's the thing. Whenever somebody gives you a responsibility, they are in actuality, and I'm not talking about somebody compelling you to work. There's a difference. That's why I use the term. Because sometimes people will make somebody or try to make somebody do some work, and they don't really care nothing about you. They just want the job done. Hello. Hello, somebody. But when somebody understands your character, they understand your ability, they have secretly, sometimes you know, and sometimes they have secretly watched you, watch your character, watch how you do things, and then they come up to you all out the blue and say, hey, I think I need you to do this, or can you help me with such and such? And that is a responsibility that's based upon honor. Now, it may be something that you look at as work. Hello. But if you really think about it, that means that they are saying a lot about you as a person. Look at this. Or they're saying a lot about what they think about you as a person. Look at this. God Almighty, who made everything, he could have taken care of the beast of the field. He could have named the beast himself, because he made them. But look at what happened. He brought the animals before Adam and gave him the responsibility of what? Of naming them. See, there's a key here, component to us understanding the kingdom and what God intends for his children who are back in right relationship with him. There's a key here that God wants us to understand, that he doesn't just want us to do church work. Hello. He doesn't just want us to do just stuff just so we can gain people in, so he can fill up his house and all the rest of that. And I think sometimes people in the church get burned out because they feel as if they're doing church work rather than have kingdom responsibilities. So if you think you just going through the motions trying to get stuff done for somebody else and all the rest of this, and we got to get this done for the pastor, and yeah, okay, the pastor this, and then the elder want this, and then, oh my God, there's always stuff to do. Oh my goodness, I'm being used. Hello, how many people in the kingdom are in the kingdom, but then they really feel like they slaves? I know y'all ain't going to say nothing. I know y'all ain't going to say nothing. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. But God made Adam, and look here, it says that out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. God made the beast. But then he says that and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. God made the beast. He knows everything about the beast. He knew everything about everything he created. But then it said that he brought every one of them in front of Adam to see what Adam would call him. It wasn't that God ran out and he was so tuckered out he couldn't do another thing. Hello, Adam, can you take over for me? No, that wasn't it. This was responsibility. This was a sense of trust. This was a sense of God has allowed one of his creatures to take part, intimately a part of God's plan. There's the key. When we share the message of the kingdom, somewhere in us sharing the message of the kingdom with people who are not part of the kingdom of the Father, we need to share with them that God wants you to be in right relationship with him so that you can take part in what God is doing. Oh, if I understand that now God, who can do all things without the help of anyone, would allow somebody who is inferior to him to now come into connection with him to take part in his overall plan, I think I can stop drinking for that. If I understand that he wants me to be in right connection with him so that I know I'm inferior to God. Now he wants to empower me to do some stuff and he wants to give me a certain sense of freedom and responsibility to now put a little bit of my flavor in with what he's doing. I think I can stop cheating on my wife for that responsibility. Hello. Look at what Paul said. Paul says, I consider that the tribulations, the problems, the stuff that I'm going on through here is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. He was really just saying, hey, all of this stuff I'm going through here, all of this stuff that's trying to get me to distrust God and to throw him behind my back and do my own thing and to satisfy myself. When I see what God has for me, I think I can say that don't even compare to what he has. So when we can share the kingdom of God with the understanding of what God wants to give to us, not give to us in our hands, but allow us to operate in our bodies and in our spirit and what we're supposed to do in a spiritual sense that may have some physical components to it, but when we understand that it's mostly spiritual that we have, then we can say, hey, this is what God wants to include you in. So he says, I want Adam, whatever you name him, I'm going to ratify what you call him. Think about that. God just made the animals. Then he said, Adam, whatever you say, because you are in connection with me, I will ratify what you say. But he says he did all this and there was still no help meet for him. Now, here's interesting thing. I kind of jumped ahead of my screen, but look, here's the freedom of submission. When we're submitted to God, because we're still looking at the kingdom. When we are submitted to God, there is a freedom in submission. The problem is most people think that to submit to God means a bondage, what I can't do. See how the enemy has already sown tares and weeds in our mind? We think submission means what we can't do. I can't do this no more. Well, that's true. That in a sense is true. But whatever you give up, you actually get more freedom than you ever give up. Whatever you give up, you actually get more than whatever you give up. That's what he told Peter. He says, no man has given up houses, land, brothers, sisters, all the rest of that stuff for my sake and the kingdom's sake, that they will not get that and more in this life and the life to come. God will never ask you to give up more than he's willing to give to you. Look, and so I'm saying that because we need to have a different approach to the kingdom in our own minds so that we can have a different approach with people who we need to try to help bring into the kingdom. So when, look, when man is submitted to God, he can be trusted to make certain decisions without God giving direct instructions. Now try to wrap your head around that. When a man, when a woman, when a boy, when a girl, when anybody trusts the Lord and comes in right connection through Jesus Christ with the Father, when anyone is in right connection and submitted to God, then God can trust them to make certain decisions without God giving direct instructions. Hello. You know, it's good when people first start, you know, becoming serious with the Lord and saying, you know, I want to do everything. I want to do what the Lord says. And then, you know, every decision they make, they got to get a confirmation. They got to get an angel. They got to get a scripture directly. They got to get, you know, they got to have God whisper something in their ear because they don't want to do nothing that's outside of God's will. Well, that's good, but that's the first stage of it. Hello. But as you submit to God, there's some stuff that you will automatically know that it is within the realm of what God wants you to do, so that God wants to have children of his that can make decisions without God giving direct instructions. Look, when God is considered first, a person will make their decisions within the confines of God's word. There's some things that, and I'm just going to say it this way. There's some things that God really does not care what you do in certain areas. If you go to the store, God don't really care if you buy a red blouse or a blue blouse. He really don't. God, Lord, which color should I buy? Lord, which color should I buy? God really don't care. He just wants you clothed modestly. Hello. Hello. So now it's not of whether it's blue or red, but is it cleavage or neck? Hello. And then how much cleavage? Hello. Hello. So there are certain things that when God is considering God's, when a person is considering God's will and what God would have them to do, when they are in that mindset, when they have their heart set that way, there are certain things that God says, hey, you have the freedom to make certain decisions because I know that whatever decision you're going to make will be within my will. So I don't have to tell you something directly because whatever decision that you make is going to be within the confines of what I want done anyway. That's what God was talking about when he said, when Jesus said, the kingdom is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. Sometimes the crop comes up and the corn comes up and one ear may be humongous. Another one may be average size. Another one may be smaller, but they're all what? Corn. Every fruit that comes up, every time you pull an apple off a tree, every apple isn't the same size, but every apple is an apple. God, when you walk in the kingdom submission to God, you have the freedom that God won't have to tell you everything. God won't have to tell you everything. You might be late for work trying to get God to tell you, and you stand in front of your closet, Lord, what should I put on today? Now, there are people that do that.
bless their hearts. They just getting saved. They just getting, or they just starting to try to submit to God. So they want to be obedient to God in everything. Bless their hearts. They just need to mature a little bit. But the key is that God won't have to tell you everything when you are submitted to him, because you will be led by the Spirit and you will know the principles of his kingdom and the principles of his will. So there will be some decisions that you will automatically make, and it will be as if God directed you directly. Look at this. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back. Look, what did he say? What did he say? Because we're looking at the good seed. He said, I planted good seed in my field. And God said, verse 26, and God said, let us make what? Let us make man, mankind, in our image. There's the key, image, and after our what? Likeness. In our image and after our likeness, and what? And let what? And let who? And let them. That means both man and woman. Let them have what? Dominion. That means to rule. That means to call some shots. That means to get some stuff done, right? Over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Hold on. God allowed mankind to have control and direction over everything that God created. That's responsibility. Hold on. Now, it's one thing when a person says, you know what? Here, you can drive my car. If it's 20 years old, it got a few dings on it, got some rust spots on the back. You happy because, you know, hey, it's transportation. They don't have to do it. They don't have to trust it. But now when they hand you the keys to their 2010 Mercedes, talking about, oh, just drive it. You just put a little gas in it, you know, when it gets low. Oh, hold on. That's a whole nother feeling right there. That's a feeling like, no, I don't want to. Hello, because you don't even want to park it in the parking lot, lest somebody ding it, because you know that they have now offered you something that is way beyond what is normal. I wanted to say that God did even more than that for man. Before man could even prove himself whether he could do something, he didn't even have a chance to do it. God created everything and then said, I want you to have dominion, control. I'm giving you the keys to the earth. Wow. I'm giving you the keys to everything on this earth for you to direct and have control over. This is what the kingdom. He says, I planted good seed in my field. Remember? Now, it says, so God created man in his own what? Image. And in the image of God created he him what? Male and female created. So now man and woman was created in the image and in the likeness of God. I've dealt with that before, but I need to touch on it briefly once again. Because he said, remember, we're connecting Genesis with the parable about the good seed planted in the field in Matthew chapter 13. It says that he planted the good seed in the field. God created mankind to be in righteous connection with him. He never created man to be in sin. He never created mankind. He never created mankind. He never created mankind. Not the first one. Not the first one. Not the first one. Adam, I got to say it over and over again, because all we're used to is seeing sinful man. So we got to remember, God did not create man to be in rebellion and to do his own thing. God created man to be good seed. And he planted him in the field, and he said, I want you, I'm going to make you in my image. Your character originally is just like my character. Everything that God saw was right and everything that God saw was wrong was how Adam saw things as right and wrong. So they were in right connection. But now he says, I want you to have dominion because I understand that you have my character. And you're not going to misuse what I give to you. So now I'm going to allow you to have. That's why I said, when somebody gives you something that's called responsibility over something real heavy, that says a whole lot about what they think about you. Hello. You don't let everybody take care of your kids. Hello. Not saying that they can't feed them, but you know, when somebody leaves their kids with you or whatever, that's really saying what they feel about you. What they think about you. And so he says, I'm going to make you in my image and after my likeness, and I'm going to give you the keys to the entire world. Wow. But I'm only telling you one thing. Don't eat of that one tree. You got the run of everything. You got the run of everything. Just don't eat that one tree. Right? Look at this. Dominion. Talking about kingdom. Dominion. Dominion to have control. Man was given submission or permission to rule everything. He was given permission to rule everything. Now, imagine this. Imagine this. Think about this. He already gave us a glimpse of the freedom that man had by saying every animal that came, Adam was to name it, and whatever Adam named it, that's what it was, right? So now imagine, that's just an example. Now imagine the freedom that man had with the rest of the world. Freedom. We're talking about freedom. He then planted Adam in the earth and basically said, you got the run of the place. However you want to handle stuff is how you can handle it. That's better than a blank check. Hello. But look, here's the whole point, though. Because man was in the image of God, that his connection, man's heart was in connection with God's heart. So now it was as if, now try to wrap your head around this. It was as if, because the connection between God and Adam was so there, it was as if whatever Adam did would have been exactly what God would have done had he done it directly. He created him in his image. There's some people that you may have good friends or whatever, and you can trust them to do certain things, and whatever decision they make, you know, because of your connection with one another, that their decision would have been basically what you would have done had you been there. Or if you don't, you need to pray for a friend like that. You know, you only get about one or two. Hello, in life, you only get about one or two. But you can understand that there are people that are so close, and it may not be that that's what they like, but because they know you, they would make decisions based upon. So, you know, you don't send everybody shopping for you and pick up something. And then, you know, whatever they pick out is something you're going to wear. Hello. No, not it. No, 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 no. But they may not like it, but they know you and so close to you. They know what you like and what you would look good in. So then you can trust what they would do. So now here's the thing. He put man in the garden and it put man in the earth and said, because you are in my image, I give you the control of everything, and whatever you do is basically what I would have done too. So here's the key. God intended for the kingdom to be where he had people that were so submitted to him that God wanted to rule his creation through the man and woman that he created. So now think about this once again. If you tell people who are not part of the kingdom of God that this is what God wants to give them, you might not have to keep telling them, well, you know, God don't want you to smoke in that crack. Because the privilege that you present to them may far outweigh the, hey, you know, you better stop that stuff, because you can't get into heaven without, you know, if you keep on doing that stuff. Well, I think it's more incentive when somebody hears what God has for them rather than what God wants to try to take from them. Hello? Because see, look at this. If I understand that God wants me to get so connected with his purpose and with his mindset that he wants me to have some ownership and some rule and some say-so in the earth, there's too much work on the earth to do for me to have time for foolishness. Hello? It's people that don't have enough to do that find themselves in. Hello? When you don't have enough to do, you can find trouble. But busy people that are not just busy, just always doing something, but people who have a lot of responsibility, they don't have time for a whole lot of crazy mess. Cause they got so much stuff doing to go on. They got so, I got this to do. I got to feed the kids. I can't hang out at the clubs with you. From work, I gotta go. I gotta make sure the kids are fed. By the time to get the kids fed, then I gotta make sure they got their homework done. Why? Not because you're doing a whole lot of stuff, but you understand your responsibility. So now I can't get caught up with no foolishness because I got too much responsibility. And eventually, when you are responsible, you will see a reward to everything you've been responsible with. It may be rough while you're doing it, but when you know you're doing something that is worthwhile and something that has tangible results at the end, when you finally see the results, you will look back on all those sleepless nights and everything else and say, you know what? It was worth it. So now, we got to see God intended for the kingdom to be full of people with responsibility that were connected to him, that God could rule the earth through them. God wants to rule in the earth through people who are connected to him. That's the basics of the kingdom of God. What God is trying to get us all back to. That's the whole thing. What is God trying to do? God is trying to get us back to the place where he has a earth that's full of people that will do his will and rule stuff the way that he wants it ruled. I'm going to say something right here and then I'm going to move on because I'm not going to dwell on here long. That does not mean now that the church is to force the secular or the material people and the laws to make people act like heaven, but he wants a earth full of people who have the law of God in their heart that will do it without necessarily having an outside law. You better do this or you're going to jail. Understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying, and I have to say this over and over again in different ways so people understand what I'm saying, is that the church we're not doing kingdom work if we're trying to force politicians and everybody else to make laws that will force people to act like the kingdom is here. No, God wanted to have people who we have now ministered to. They have accepted the Lord. They have now let the law of God in their hearts so that the law of the land don't apply to them, because what does the word say? Said that laws are given to lawbreakers. Laws are actually given to people who are going to break laws. You don't have the law on the book that if you steal a car, you know, that you're going to jail for such. That law does not apply to somebody who's not a thief. You don't have to worry about that law. The only person who got to worry about going to jail for stealing a car is somebody who wants to steal a car. How many times do you think about, oh my God, I might go to jail for stealing a car? If you got a car, You're not even thinking about stealing a car. You don't even think about the law that says, hey, I might go to jail for stealing a car. Because if you're not thinking about stealing a car, you don't think about that law. Hello? So now, here's the thing. That's why the more that you become connected with God by the kingdom and submit to him, the less... Now, you got to understand. I'm going to say it. I'm not going to dwell on it. You're going to have to let the Lord work it out. The more you want to submit to God, the less you really think about the negative sides of what will happen if you break the law of God. If you want to really please God, you're not going to spend a whole bunch of time thinking about what you can do that God may get you for. Because what? When man was fully submitted to God, he only had one prohibition. When you first get saved, that's when you start really thinking about all the stuff you're not supposed to do and stuff you need to stop doing. All of it. Your mind, when you first get saved many times, your mind goes to a whole bunch of stuff. I got to stop doing this. I got to stay away from that. Ooh, I almost fell into that. I got to stop doing that. But the more you submit to God, the more you actually see how much stuff you are to do and how much stuff God has given you the freedom to do. You don't too much think. You think less and less about what things you aren't supposed to do, because as you're doing the will of God, you automatically stay away from the stuff, hello, that God says don't do. The freedom. This is God's intention. That was God's intention, to give man freedom to rule, and God wanted to rule through man. The kingdom of God from the beginning. That was the kingdom of God from the beginning. That was the kingdom of God from the beginning. But look, now, he gave responsibility, right? He gave responsibility. This is what you are supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do. Now, when people are given responsibility, it's great. But how many times have you been given responsibility and was scared to death? You were happy that you were considered, but when you thought about it, you were scared to death. They got the wrong one. Oh, I don't know. Can I do? Oh, it's good. I may get more money, or I may get more exposure. I may get, you know, whatever. But, oh my God. Come on, let's all go back. Or some of us go back. I'm gonna use one example. It doesn't apply to everybody. But for those who have children, you were happy when, you know, the test result, whether you saw the thing or the doctor first told you or whatever, you were told, oh, congratulations, you about to have a child. Whoo, you may have been excited. May have been excited. But at some point, you was like, it really gripped you. You was like, oh, I have a baby. Oh, what I'm going to put on child. And then all of a sudden, I don't know. Am I going to be able to? Am I going to hold a baby right? Am I going to feed a baby? Am I going to do the right thing? Oh, my God. What's it going to? Oh, my goodness. I remember with Christian. I mean, I was happy, but I had anxiety attacks sometimes. Like, oh, my goodness. Do I know how to hold a baby? And, you know, this is the first time ever. This is an exclusive. First time ever. I haven't even told Monica this. But sometimes I would get so anxious till I would... I wouldn't do it a lot. I think I only remember doing it 2 or 3 times. But I kind of found myself, you know, I get to the toy section. And I get by a little doll and try to see if I knew how to hold a baby. Now, that looked crazy for a grown man to be standing in the toy section. I mean, am I holding the baby right? Now, you don't know, but this is a doll. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it with a real baby. Oh, God, help me. Why? What am I saying? There's some responsibilities that you're pleased when you get it, but there's a moment of, hold on, do I have what it takes to actually do what I've been given? Now, watch this. Imagine God giving the responsibility of the entire earth, all the animals, naming all the animals, taking care of all the fields and all the rest of that. And now Adam is there on all of this globe. Now, don't think, Now, we all know scientific enlightenment and everything else. We know that the earth was not smaller then. It's the same size as it was then. One person given the responsibility of the entire earth. Now, look at this next part. And this is what I saw. Lord direct me here. He basically said, I give you all this responsibility, but now here is the representative of what God then wants to say. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and for every beast of the earth, and for every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. There's two things I want you to see here. God gave responsibility to the man to take care of the animal, the name of direct them what they supposed to do and all the rest of that. And now, just in case Adam was standing there, knees shaking. It probably was shaking so much, they probably thought that was the first earthquake. Because I'm telling you, that's a heavy responsibility. But look at what God says to him. Slow down. I've given you every green herb, every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for me. I've given you the resources that you need to survive for you to do this work. That's basically what he's saying. He only talked about the food, but it represents that I give you the responsibility, but I give you every resource that you're going to need to survive. Now, here's the thing. We who are in process of submitting more and more to the Lord, we've asked the Lord to come into our life. We've asked the Lord to change us. Now, we're on the road. We are in the kingdom of his son. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We've been translated. So now, realize everything that happens, everything that's around our life, every circumstance we are in, God still now gives responsibility to us, but he's also saying, I've given you everything you will ever need at any time you need it to survive your responsibility. You may not think you have it. You may not feel like you have it, but I have given you everything that you will need to survive, and I will feed you, your body, your soul, your spirit. I will feed you with everything. I will give you everything that you need to complete your assignment. That's what he said. But God, all right, what about me? But what about my assignment? Okay, I may survive, but I may fail in my assignment. My assignment may fall apart. The next part says, to every beast of the earth, of the fowl of the air, and every thing that creep upon the earth, I have given every green herb for me. So now I will make sure that your assignment is taken care of also. Because come on, let's think about it. Okay, I got food to eat, but what in the world I'm going to feed these big old hippopotamus? And that is what I named it. Yeah, that's what I named it. Remember, because he named it. Now, this elephant, oh my goodness. It's all right if I got to feed a little bird, but I got to find enough food now to feed this elephant. God said, I've given you the responsibility, but now I will also provide for your responsibility to be taken care of too. Because here's the key. God wanted to rule the earth through man. So now here's the thing. Whatever God has called you to do is not really up to you to struggle to get it done. God wants you to submit to God to let God get the assignment done through you. It's not up to you to be able to figure out how you supposed to do it. God says, I will feed you while you doing your assignment, and I will feed your assignment so that your assignment will come to fruition so that I will get the glory when it's all over. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. So now, why would you have to tell somebody, stay away from sin? What do you mean stay away from sin? You see all the stuff I got? I don't want to mess that up. That should be the idea, right? That should be the idea, right? Let me say that once again. That should be the idea. I got all of this. I ain't gonna mess this up. Oh, Jesus. How many people did that? I'm not talking about here. I'm just talking about hypothetically. Had a good thing, messed it up. Good job, messed it up. Good marriage, messed it up. Lord help. Genesis 3. 1-7. Look. They had it great. See, here's the key. Remember, we're looking at Matthew also. The key scripture was in Matthew chapter 13, where it talks about, I think it was down there about 12 or somewhere, where it said the kingdom of heaven, talking about kingdom of heaven now, the way things are now. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who had a field and he sowed good seed in the field. He originally started off with putting good seed in the field because he wanted a good crop. But then it says that an enemy came in at night, snuck in there, and sowed some wild seeds in there. They sowed some weeds in there that was trying to choke out the good seed. Let's look. Now the serpent was more subtle, crafty, sneaky, underhanded than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden. That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not die. Oh, God, he was just exaggerating. Ain't nothing going to happen. He said, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, that then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, so that they saw that they were both naked, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This is where Jesus was referring to in the parable about when men sleep. That means in the process of time, the enemy, the devil, in the form of a serpent, came in and he was verbally planting weeds in the woman's mind. Now, here's the thing. See, because you got to read the scripture as it's intended. It's not really just all the woman's fault. Because here's the key. The woman was pulled out from the man. So if the woman was already curious about the tree and would have submitted to what the devil was saying just because he said, hey, look at that tree. That ultimately means that the man was curious also, because the woman came out from the man. Hello? Hello? So all that happened was that the serpent just came to the one he thought he could best influence, but it didn't mean that the man was off scot-free. So let's look. He sowed in verbal words of temptation. He added in doubt, but the doubt wasn't the main thing. he said something that he was really trying to ignite that was already on the inside of him, or he suspected was on the inside of him. That's what the enemy does. The enemy plants seed not in things that you don't want to do, but he actually tries to ignite stuff that you secretly want to do. Hello. Hello. Nobody ever does anything that they don't really want to do inside. James says that we are led away and enticed by our own lust. So when somebody does something, when they give in to something, they're not really giving into something that they were actually forced to do. They secretly wanted to do it, even if they weren't conscious of it. Hello. You know, sometimes, I'm not talking about us. I'm just talking about hypothetically. Hypothetically, there's some stuff that we can do or we've done that we shocked. People have shocked themselves. Now, I'm not talking about us. You know, stuff that you may look back on now, you like, may still make you shock. Hope nobody find that out. Thank God folks back then didn't have TV cameras on their phones. Hello? But here's the key. Here's the key. It wasn't something that wasn't already in you, even though it shocked you. You may have come to your senses and all the rest of that, but it really wasn't something outside of you. The devil just tapped into something that was secretly on the inside all along. So now here's the thing. Here's something that just popped in, right? Look. Yeah, email. Look, the devil, when Jesus talked about the enemy sowed seeds in the field, the seed don't pop up unless it finds field to grow. Whether it's a good seed or whether it's a weed seed, you throw some weed seed or good seed out on that concrete out there. See if it's going to grow. I'm not talking about if the seed falls in the crack, because we know weeds will grow in the crack. I'm just talking about sitting right there on top of the concrete. No earth, no dirt, no nothing. Neither one of them is going to grow. It's only when it finds soil that the seed grows. Ooh. Look. Remember what God had given them. Remember what God had given them. God had given them everything. He gave them resources. But then here's the thing. The enemy came in and says, there's some resources that you don't have. Eat of this tree and you'll be like gods and you'll know good and evil. What? He's actually telling them there's something that God is keeping back from. But they hadn't even probably done had explored everything that God had already given them, but then he tapped into something that we all fall victim to, feeling like we're going to miss something. Feeling as if we're going to miss something. So he said, hey, eat of this tree. There's something. The reason why he don't want you to eat this tree, because there's something he holding back. But look, the knowledge of good and evil. God gave them the knowledge of good and of what was good and evil. But they wanted the ability to choose for themselves what they thought was good and what they thought was bad for themselves. God originally was the source of knowledge of good and evil, but now they wanted to take it into their own hands. And that's what the enemy does. Even when you're in the kingdom, the devil instigates rebellion. You may be doing the will of God, And all of a sudden, God, the devil then comes along and say, you know what? You're doing too much. They don't appreciate what you're doing. But hold on. If we're working for the kingdom, we're working for God. We're not really working for people. But then the enemy comes in and say, you know, you're doing, they don't appreciate you. Yeah, you're right. They ain't say thank you. The enemy instigates rebellion. He gets in your head and starts talking. And the evil thing about it is he uses your own voice. Hello? He better than Rich Little. Hello? Can imitate anybody's voice. He gets in your head. Especially when you get alone. You're supposed to be praying. And the enemy's. And you know, and remember when you know you don't need to do, you could be doing some other stuff. You need to take time for yourself. Yeah. And then you talk to somebody and it sounds like they are confirming what your head done said. Yeah. And all, and you don't realize right before you came and talking to him, they had some, and you need to tell her this, and you need to tell her that. And it sounded like her thing that's in her head or his head. And now you come together. Yeah. It's the same voice that's been talking. Y'all say, yeah, you're right, girl. You're right, man. You're right. No, it's the same voice that's been talking to both of y'all. Both of y'all crazy. Listen to the same voice. The devil instigates rebellion, and all he's doing is planting seeds that will try to kill the good seed that God wants to bring up. And all men fail when Adam fell. There's the thing. And we don't have time to go into that. But Romans 5 and 12 talks about that. When Adam fell, all mankind fell because we all came out of Adam. So when his nature was changed, our nature automatically changed before we even were born. So that's why it says all have sinned and come short of the glory. Not because everybody did something wrong, but because our nature was wrong even when we were conceived. David says that, you know, in sin was I conceived, you know, in sin I was conceived in sin and I was birthed in iniquity. And so he talks about that because why? In Adam we have all sinned. But here's the promise, and here's where we're gonna leave, because we're gonna have to talk about the next part to the kingdom next week. But Genesis 3, here's the promise. God knew man messed up, but he gave the promise. Thank God. God gave responsibility, and man should have surely physically died and went to hell. He should have physically died and God would just wipe the whole plan out. He should have, because to be given that much responsibility and mess up that bad. Oh my God. But it speaks to the gracious nature of God and the loving kindness of God that it says that after they had messed up, you know, found out that they was unclothed now because the glory of God was gone and they was in the wrong position. Now they running, hiding, little fig leaves and everything else. And the fig leaf wasn't going to last long and all the rest of that. And everything we try to do to cover ourselves up, it don't last long. And then we got to tell another lie. We got to do something else, make another decision, another bad decision to cover up the bad decision we made before that. Then after that one shrivels up and falls off, now we got to go and make another decision. It's a bad decision to cover up for the last four decisions we made. And then we get into this cycle. But here's the thing. God says, stop trying to get yourself out of messes. I know you done messed up. They were running from him while God was coming looking for them. They running, but God is coming looking for them. He said, I know you messed up. But look, it said, unto Adam also and to his wife, the Lord did make coats of skin and clothed them. He clothed them. This prefigured and showed the down through the process of time that it was prophetic of Jesus clothing all mankind, because as Adam was naked, so all of mankind was naked before God, and we were ashamed and running away from God. Nobody really wants to come to God. God has to draw us to himself. Why? Because we already instinctively know we're out of the will of God. So God has to come to us and clothe us with his son, with the blood of his son. And so everyone who accepts the Lord and accepts the blood of Jesus, we are clothed and we are covered up from the judgment of God by the blood of Jesus. That's
that's really the good part. The good part. And now here's the mercy part. After they closed, they weren't just allowed to just run scot-free, you know. Okay, I'm safe now. I'm now going on about my business. Thank you, Lord. Some folks want God to do that, you know. They done wrong and all the rest of that. So, God, just forgive me of my sins and then just let me run on. And knowing that they plan on running off into some more sin. Look at this.